At Belvedere, I told a couple stories to begin with that I wasn't going to tell here, but Sue said I should, so I will. Just an indicator or a helper for us to realize that we are easily influenced and easily swayed. The COVID virus, it's a real virus, but we've been taught and programmed and so much information has been shoved at us that I think we immediately tend to think that anything that we feel must be COVID. And so I was getting an earache and I had a sore throat and I was thinking, oh man, I must be catching it, you know. And so Sue took my temperature and I didn't have a temperature. And I had a rubber tip off my hearing aid stuck in my ear and it was irritating pretty good. So you see, things aren't always as they seem to be. A couple of weeks ago, a guy from Southeast Florida was at the shop and he told us his story, and his story was that at 15 years of age, he and two other young teens had strapped three truck inner tubes together and put planks on or boards on top of them and escaped from Cuba. And they floated across from Cuba to Florida, hoping they would make it. And they were on the water for 7 days. He said that their rear end was always wet. And there were most of the times there were sharks just swimming around them. When they got to land finally, 20 some days he was in a coma from dehydration. And he recovered and got a job, worked hard, had a trucking company with 14 trucks today. He said, that's America. But the story doesn't end there because he had a daughter who went to college and came back from college last election and said she was going to vote for Bernie. And he said, the roof came off our house. Helping us to understand that in one generation, that which he had risked his life for didn't seem as important to the next generation because there had been no cost, no personal cost. But already the experiences of her dad had been set aside because of persuasiveness and because of indoctrination. And I guess I think that that story applies as well to our spiritual life. Because very quickly, the things of the world, the thoughts of the world, the desires of the world began to intrude into the truth of God's word and water it down, change it, and cause us to see the things of God as maybe not as important as we once thought they were. This week I happened to hear a song that I hadn't heard of in a long time. It was a Steve Green song that says, some of you guys probably haven't even heard of Steve Green, huh? Steve Green's song that says, will those that come behind me find us faithful? Will the fire of our will the fire of our devotion be visible? And it began me thinking concerning the concept of faithfulness, and that the teaching that Jesus and the Word of God gives us concerning faithfulness, and how easily we're distracted from that faithfulness and the desire for faithfulness by the things around us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says, "My eyes search to and fro across the whole world, looking for someone who is fully committed to me." That's the concept of and the thought that God gives us concerning faithfulness to himself. Search the whole world over looking for someone who is fully committed. Didn't find one. And yet that was the standard that God set up as far as faithfulness to him. Fully committed. The word actually means to be totally reliable, to be worthy of trust, and to be fully committed. Faithfulness. As I was contemplating faithfulness, I realized and my heart was pricked that I was not faithful. That I fail often, that my thoughts wander, my desires become me-focused instead of God-focused. And God just kind of churned at my heart and said, "So you need to pursue the things of God with greater diligence." And I kind of cried out to the Lord and I said, "Lord, but I don't seem like I can." I don't know if you ever have those thoughts. And then I was reminded of all of the people in Scripture who began the journey of walking with God, and they had right intentions. You know, Adam and Eve were, the Word of God says they were created in the image of God. That was righteous, without fault, without sin. Placed them in the garden. They had nothing to do but enjoy that which God had created and to name the animals. And be obedient in one command. And Satan came along and said, "Well, that isn't really what God expects of you. And that isn't really what the outcome will be. It isn't that you'll die. It's that you'll be like God. And you'll know good and evil." And God came to the garden and Adam said, or God said, "Adam, where are you?" That indicates to me that it was a kind of a habit that they'd meet. God would come to the garden and Adam would come out to meet him. And in this case, he said, "Where are you, Adam? You haven't come out to meet me." And Adam said, "Well, I was naked. I was ashamed." And God pointed out to him, "Who told you you were naked? You were disobedient. You were unfaithful." Then there was Samson. Samson was a person who was dedicated to the Lord by his parents for his whole life. Had a specific job within the nation of Israel that he was to accomplish. What happened? Got lustful. His eyes began to wander. The things around him intrigued him more than the things of God. And the purposes of God were taken away for his life. He was unfaithful. Then there was David. David was described by God as a man after God's own heart. The scripture describes him as one that was fully committed to God. And then he was tempted, and he yielded to temptation. And for a whole year, that relationship with God was obstructed by sin. And then the prophet came and told David the story, and David responded in anger, and the prophet said, David, you're that man. And then there was repentance. And that was the interesting turn for my thought process, because I realized that here were man after man after man who were just like me. They were unfaithful to God. And then God reminded me of a verse, 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And another verse popped into mind, and it was 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it says, there's no temptation that has taken you, but such as it's common to man. You're going to face it. You're going to face it. You're going to face it, and I face it. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And I realized that the teaching of Scripture is that God calls me to faithfulness, realizing I'm not faithful, but that he is faithful and empowers us through the Holy Spirit to become that which he's called us to be. There's a cool verse in Revelation 19:11. It says, and I can't remember exactly how it goes. It says this, though, that when Jesus returns, he that is sitting on a white horse that God named Faithful and True. When Jesus returns, he'll return to earth on a white horse, and his name is Faithful and True. The Apostle Paul gave us a picture in Philippians chapter 3 of kind of, I wanted to read for you a little paraphrase of Philippians 3, 7 through 10. And he was telling us concerning his life. He said, I was pretty proud of who I was and what I had accomplished, the education that I had, and how the world around me saw who I was. And I was pretty diligent at pursuing that which I thought to be true. But I met Jesus. When I met Jesus, nothing that I had had before was important anymore. I counted it as trash. And then he says this, that I might know him, that I might know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained this. That's the next verse. Not that I've already attained this. But I press on. This seems like, for me, most of the time I tend to deal with sin in my life from the perspective of I'm doing okay if I sin less, rather than confessing sin and turning from it. I think most of us are tend to be like that. I'll give you some examples. I have a problem with anger in my life. But it's not as bad as I used to be. I don't get angry as much as I used to now. I have a problem with bad thoughts in my life, but I'm getting a handle on it. It's not as bad as it used to be. Or, I just can't keep from gossiping. When I hear something, I just have to share it. But, I think I'm better than I used to be. When we think of God's call to faithfulness from the perspective of I've searched the whole world over for looking for someone who is fully committed to me, I don't think that view of sin and our dealing with sin fits within that which God has called us to be. And I realize that most often that is my view of sin, is I'm trying to be better, God, rather than coming before him and renouncing that which is unfaithful and turning from it and walking towards him. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 is a passage that tells us about the fruits of the Spirit. Most of us have memorized that at one point or another. We can just label them off. The fruit of the Spirit is, most of the time we do it like this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, right? And realize, not even coming to realize that the fruit of the Spirit is the demonstration of God's indwelling person in us. It's what changes as we submit ourselves to the person of God through the Holy Spirit. Back in the Old Testament, God had the desire to have a relationship with the people of Israel, and they were his people. And remember back when he gave them the Ten Commandments, he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And the Ten Commandments was probably almost a marriage covenant between God and the people of Israel. And the first five commandments were how they should have a relationship with God. And the second five commandments were how they should have a relationship with each other. And it was this marriage covenant relationship that God had with the children of Israel. And they didn't keep the covenant. And yet God said to them, when you're unfaithful, I'm still faithful. When you're unfaithful, I'm still faithful. Having then that marriage covenant relationship with them, he said to them, I want to dwell among you. I want to live among you. Build me this tabernacle so that I can live among you. So they built the tabernacle, and that was the dwelling place of God. Then when they got into the promised land, they built the temple, and God dwelt in the temple. And they had the relationship through the temple with God. And then we come to the New Testament, and God says, because the redemption through Jesus Christ is complete, if you by faith receive what I have done, I will wash you clean. by the blood of Jesus. Then for my simple mind to understand, it's as though God's, who the Holy Spirit, looks into my heart that's been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, and he says, oh, it's clean. Sin is dealt with. I could make my home there. So he comes in, and the scripture records it like this, that we are now the temple of God, the dwelling place of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Blood bought, by the way. Therefore, glorify God with your body and with your spirit, which belong to God. Faithfulness. Through the power of God's indwelling Holy Spirit, I have the opportunity and the responsibility to live faithful to the Lord. I couldn't do it before. I don't know how many of you have ever had the experience of spending some time with the Lord in the morning. And I've just really had a good time in the Word, and I've had time in prayer, and it's as though God and I are just, we're communing, we're having this fellowship time, and I walk out the door, and an hour later, it's like my actions are as though I never had a relationship with God, and I'm reminded of Peter when he said, Lord, I'll go to death with you. I'll go to prison with you. Lord, there's nothing going to separate us. And Jesus said, before the cock crows in the morning, you'll say you didn't even know me three times. Have you ever had that experience? And we, by our lives, disown or by the way we talk, we deny the Lord, even though in the morning we've had fellowship and communion in the same way that Peter did. The Apostle Paul then gives us in chapter 3 of Philippians, he goes on and he said, brothers, I haven't yet taken a hold of that which God has offered to me. I haven't got it completely in line, but I forget what is behind. I think that's probably the necessary portion of that. What has to happen in our life is most of us get pretty puffed up and proud about the things that we have or we've accomplished or where we're headed or what we've gathered up or how much we have or what our kids have done or accomplished. And so somehow or other, pride enters into our life, and we get pretty focused on it. And the Apostle Paul said, I have to forget that. I have to lay that down. It's got to be in the past. I can't remember it anymore. Forgetting the things that are behind, I press on, or I strain towards that which is ahead, to win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's the prize? I mean, is it going to heaven? Is that the prize? Is there going to be people in heaven who just sneak in there by the skin of their teeth, you think? Or is there rewards and levels and things that we should strive for in this life that are going to be, I think the Word of God does teach us that are going to be rewarded in heaven, and that we press on, we strive for, we reach on in this life to be faithful so that when we come to the presence of Jesus, we hear him say those words that were in the parable of Luke chapter 25 when the stewards did well and the master said, "Well done, faithful servant." I think that is where the prize is about. I don't know. I know I'm not faithful. I know that through the power of God's Spirit, I have the opportunity to be faithful. That only through His strength. No. I've failed often enough knowing I can't do it. But through the power of God, we have the ability and the opportunity to be faithful. And for God to focus His attention on me or on you and say, "Well done, faithful servant. Come enter into the joy of my glory." That requires of me to surrender myself to God's Spirit so that He, not me, in order for me to not be involved, I have to forget what is behind and focus and reach towards that which is ahead. God's called us to be faithful, but He empowers us to do it through His Spirit. So, Lord, this morning we're grateful for Your word. It's truth. We also remember the fact that the things around us can distract us and change our views and disorient us to the point where we don't even focus on that which You've called us to do. Reminded of the story with the man who escaped from Cuba and whose daughter in one generation. So, Lord, allow us through commitment to Your word to be focused and to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.